Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and I am here with Dr. Vanderpool to do episode 2 of our Living Missionally series. Last week, we talked about the importance of developing the attitude of giving life to people. And today, we are going to discuss the practical aspects of this. So, Dr. Vanderpool, Dad, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So how can we develop the practice of giving life as we live a missional lifestyle as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's easy to talk about the theory behind things, but when you get down and the rubber meets the road, that's a little bit different, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so fortunately, the Bible is our guide in everything. And there are some great passages that will really help us get practical in this kind of thing. So, you know, to restate John 10:10, it's just such a powerful scripture, mm-hmm. that a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came so that we might have life and have life abundantly. And that difference is the entirety of the answer right there. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, we have killing and stealing and destroying. On the other hand, we have life and abundant life. And so the way that I would like to address the question today is just in that binary manner. We've got two different aspects of it. So if you see a situation where there is stealing and killing and destroying going on, that's the enemy. You can tell for sure that the enemy is involved in that very thing. Because that's the only reason he comes. He comes to disrupt. And so we can use that as just a hallmark of what the enemy looks like. Jesus, on the other hand, gives life and gives life abundantly. And that's another way for us to look at these situations to see, what do we need to do to be a life-giving person and to give life into situations? And so think about today. You know, there's a lot of unrest today. There's a lot of violence. It's a dark time. There's a lot of destruction going on. And murder rates are skyrocketing in our major cities. That's a hallmark of what the enemy does. He's a disruptor. He's an anarchist. And he comes in to destabilize whatever situation that he's in. So when we see that, we know that the enemy is close. But when we see peace, we see building up. We see people helping each other, working together to solve problems. We know that that's where Jesus lives. He lives in that life-giving type community. So when we're talking about living missionally, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about coming into a situation and being the presence of peace, being that person who's giving life, not just to a subset of people, but giving life to everyone concerned. And so that's the kind of thing that I want to stress today, is that people who are living missionally are life givers.
That's good. So what does it look like to be like the enemy?
Well, there's another great scripture, of course. In Philippians 2, verse 14, Paul says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." So you see a situation, there's grumbling, there's arguing, there's criticizing. All of these things are ways that we tear down people and we tear down institutions. And these are the tactics of the enemy. The enemy wants us to be in a situation where we are arguing and criticizing, just the exact opposite of what Jesus calls to. So there's another passage in Romans 14 in verse 4. talking about criticizing each other. The verse says, "Who are you to criticize another's household slave? Before his own Lord, he stands or falls." And he's talking about us, because we are all slaves or servants of the master. Mm. And so we have no position at all to criticize each other, because we are all just servants of the master. So when we avoid these things, when we avoid the grumbling and arguing and criticizing, we become blameless and pure, children without fault. And he says, then we shine like stars. And what a wonderful message that is for us, in the goal to be like a star, being a shining star. We even talk about that in popular culture, you know, that you want to be a shining star. And the Lord allows us to have access to that blamelessness through him, of course. It's nothing about ourselves, and that purity. And we become like shining stars, and people notice that.
Hmm. So is it just that we should avoid the bad at all costs, or is it kind of, is there more to it?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and a lot of us sort of grew up with the idea that we just had to not be bad, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really not that hard to just avoid bad, right? Because mm-hmm. There's always somebody worse that you can point to. But Jesus calls us to more than that. Mm. You know, if we're going to be living missionally and we're going to be life givers, then that's a positive thing, right? That's the positive aspect of Jesus. And so a wonderful scripture that talks about this is in Philippians 4, verse 8. And he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things." Hmm. "Do what you have learned and received and heard in me, and the God of peace will be with you." And so here's a list of things that are just really pretty amazing that he asks us to meditate on. He says, dwell on these, think about these things, rather than thinking about negative things and things that bother us and that we want to criticize, that we want to tear down. Rather than thinking that way, he's telling us to think about positive things. So whatever is true, and of course, truth is just an amazing piece of life-giving. It's an element that's so life-giving. And it's such a wonderful way for us to be able to build up ourselves as well.
Mm, that's good. So how can we be like the stars? How can we bring light and life and restoration to bad situations?
Well, that's a great question, you know, because we're all involved in bad situations. Maybe it's challenges at work. Maybe it's challenges at church. Maybe it's challenges at home. There's always a bad situation out there lurking to get us, right? And so having the tools at our disposal to really deal with these bad situations, I think, is really important. It's important to hone those tools. It's important that the tools are sharp and they're useful. And so if we practice these things, I think that's why Paul was talking about dwelling on this list of things in Philippians, that we need to really consider it. We need to contemplate about that. So thinking about truth, and that God is truth, and that there really is no other truth, you know, outside of God. Focusing on what really is truth, not what you want to be true, right? There's a big difference sometimes. Mm. There's a lot of things that I'd like to be true, but you know what? They're just not true. So there's no reason for me to think about that. It would be wonderful to be vacationing in some island retreat right now, right? But that's just not where I am right now. I'm in. So it's focusing on what is absolutely true. And God is the only source of absolute truth. And so you think about that. You think about that the truth of God so loving the world that he gave his only son so that we might live with him forever. That's a truth, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a truth that we need to meditate on, that we need to think about, that we think about that God loves us. And he doesn't just love us a little bit. He loved us so much that he gave his son so that we might be with him. Mm-hmm. What an amazing exchange that is. And that's a truth that he gives us. He says, if we believe on him and are baptized, we get to spend eternity with him. He talks about these truths that we can guarantee. They have an absolute guarantee. And these are the reasons that focusing on these positive, life-giving truths make us like stars. You know, when we talk about focusing on what is honorable, the way this version says it, you know, that's a pretty broad category. But looking for honorable people to surround ourselves with, looking for solutions to problems that honor God and honor the individuals involved. Mm. Just the idea of giving each other honor, esteeming each other as better than ourselves. You know, that's not something that is natural for us. But if we are to be life givers, we need to think of others as being better than ourselves so that we give them honor. Hmm. And I think that's another way that we can really be a light, because that's not very common, is it, today? We don't right. just see a whole bunch of people falling over themselves trying to honor somebody else. Mm. There's a lot of insults and a lot of criticism. You know, next thing he says is to really explore what is just. And I love that word. It comes from the original meaning right, because back then, they thought right-handed people were just and left-handed people weren't. not true, obviously. But it comes from rightness or righteousness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being just means that there is a penalty for bad actions. It also means there's a reward for good actions, right? And that's a justice that the Lord upholds. And I think it's so wonderful. So if you're in a difficult situation, you have two parties that are at odds, there doesn't seem like there is any way that they can come to any kind of resolution, there's a just way of going about that. And there is a justice that solves both sides, not just one side, but solves both sides, you know, of the problem. You know, one of the examples that I like to think about with justice, you know, we see somebody who is poor. Maybe they're holding a sign up begging in the streets. Or since we live in Haiti, we're surrounded by people who are impoverished. And so we think that, well, the just thing would be to give them money, right? But that's not just. That, and it doesn't help them in the long run. And so focusing on things that are actually just, not just what we think, or maybe it's really easy to give the guy holding the sign beside the traffic light a $5 bill. That's really easy, right? The hard thing would be to invest in his life and give him life so that he can have abundant life and get off the streets. It's the same thing in Haiti. It's much better to give people a job, let them provide for themselves and their family, than it is just to throw money at a situation that never works. And so justice, I think, is very important. Another one is purity, focusing on the pure. You know, that's not something that is in our culture anymore. You know, we used to have purity rings, you know, those kinds of things where you would, you know, establish sort of a covenant with yourself to remain pure. Purity used to be valued. You know, that was something that was a good thing. And now it doesn't seem to align that way with our culture anymore. But focusing on things that are pure, people who are pure and who have that godliness about them that purity brings. I love the next one. It's lovely to focus on lovely things. You know, I'd always think about somebody who enjoys fine art, you know, and goes to a museum and is looking at the lovely paintings. Unfortunately, I'm not very cultured, so I don't have much appreciation. Probably should. But they focus on the loveliness of that painting. And, you know, it's a neat situation to think about a corollary. You know, there are lovely things about each individual. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they've done or where they've been or what they look like. It's that there's something inside them. There's a godliness inside them that is truly lovely. And so when you're dealing with somebody, perhaps they're difficult. They're very hard to get along with. Focusing on the things that they have that are lovely, that's a great way for us to look for solutions that way. You know, the solutions, one of the words that's used is virtuous, and focusing on a virtuous solution, I think, is wonderful. I absolutely love that word. That word actually translates as manly. And so the idea that there is an inherent virtue in manliness, not that it's excluding anybody else of another gender, but that was associated when this word was formed. It was associated with that. And that there is a virtuous course of action. When you look at things, there are several courses of actions you might be able to take in a difficult situation. But there are oftentimes very few that are truly virtuous, that have an element of sacrifice to them, that have an element that everybody concerned will be built up and will be given life in the situation. You know, the last one is I think really wonderful as well, and that is for us to think about moral excellence. And again, this isn't something that's really in our culture anymore, but thinking about things that are morally excellent. And there are standards for morality. People think today that there aren't, but the Bible is an absolute standard for morality, and it stands on its own merit. God himself communicated these words to us, and he is the bastion of morality, and he's the bastion of excellence. And so thinking about the morality and the excellence of God through his written word, I think, is a wonderful way to solve difficult situations like that.
That's amazing. So what are some other ways to bring life to difficult situations?
Well, you know, Philippians is such a great, it's a wonderful book about relationships. And the second chapter in the fifth verse is talking specifically about that. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So this first part, it's so amazing. He's talking about us. He's talking about our relationships with each other, have the same mindset that Jesus did with the Father. He's saying, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So he's talking about our relationships with each other being like the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And what a powerful relationship that is, that he never tried to take any advantage over somebody because of his own inherent godliness. He could have. I mean, he was definitely God, but he never pushed that. And so I think that's a good lesson for us, is to consider each other so important, so viable, and so necessary that we consider each one to be like God, that we administer ourselves that way. The next part of that verse says, He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And I think this is another point that is so helpful when we're in difficult situations, is that we take the form of a servant. Mm-hmm. Instead of being the domineering one, instead of being only concerned about the win, we have to win at every discussion that we have. Instead, we take the form of a servant. And this word can mean a slave, but it also can mean a bondservant, somebody who's just working for someone else and having that humility toward their master, that they would never try to usurp their master or push their own agenda that way. And finally, he says, Paul says, in being found as in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And I think this obedience is an element that is so important today. You know, God really wants us to be obedient. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was elevated to the right hand of God because of his obedience. He actually learned obedience through his suffering. And I think we fall into this same type paradigm today, that God really wants us to be obedient. You know, there's quite a lot of people out there that sort of look at sin or disobedience and dismiss it. So, well, there's grace for that. It doesn't really matter. I don't think that's what the scripture is talking about. There is absolutely grace for sin. No question about that. But sinning so that we get grace for the sin is not exactly what God has for us. And so I think that this being obedient and following what God has said is very important. There's a wonderful passage that talks about Moses, and he is praying to God, and he actually prays that God will teach him his ways. And I love that. I love that concept that Moses humbled himself so that and asked God to teach him God's ways. I think if we have that mindset, that we want to learn the ways of God, we want to act in the way that God acts, we want to interact with our fellow human beings as the way that God acts, that's going to be a life-giving situation and a situation that gives abundant life as well.
Mm, that's incredible. Well, I am just really thrilled about this series because I think it's going to be a challenge. You know, I think oftentimes when we think how to live missionally, that's, you know, when we go abroad or somewhere else, but this is really starting here at home, but also in our own hearts and really how to cultivate a foundation for how to love others and look like Jesus and act like Jesus. So thank you for that incredible word. That was wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So before we wrap up, I have to chat about it. You got a book, man. You got a book.
We do. We have a new book out. It's called Live Beyond, and it is on Amazon, and you can purchase it there. You can actually go through our website if you like. Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve. It's a wonderful book about Live Beyond as an organization and how God works through very flawed people to get his work done.
Well, it is a good book. I have to agree. And it's beautifully challenging and convicting and encouraging all at the same time. So clearly I'm a big fan.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you want to learn a little bit more about Live Beyond, you can go online to livebeyond.org to see kind of what we're doing in Haiti and how COVID has not slowed us down one bit. We are, of course, practicing appropriate social distancing and everything of that sort, but we have been so incredibly blessed to continue our programs to make sure that we are reaching the least of these. So if you want to check that out, please go online. If you also feel led to donate, you can click on the Give Now button and you can check out the different programs that are needing some donations. And also you can find the book at livebeyond.org. So please go out and check that out and go out and live beyond.